Good morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are incredibly glad that you're here. What I want you to do right now is if you could please open your Bibles, grab your Bibles, and open them to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. That's where we're going to be at this morning. But before we jump into 1 Chronicles, as I said earlier, if you're visiting with us, man, we are just excited that you're here. And if you haven't gotten a chance to be greeted, to be hugged, to be welcome, man, just give us a little time after service, okay? I promise you, there will be a swarm of people. Don't be intimidated by that. It's a good swarm of people. They'll love on you, they'll hug you, they'll shake your hand, and they'll want to meet you. And so we come in this morning looking forward to something. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving. Raise your hand if you're looking forward to Thanksgiving. Yes. Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday. I like it better than Christmas. Christmas is just too much work at times. And Thanksgiving, I guess it can be work. But you know, we've got that Thanksgiving thing down to a science because, you know, I don't know about you, but spending 12 or 10 hours, you know, waiting for a turkey to cook is way too long. And so what the Isasiga family did was we decided many, many years ago that we're going to deep fry. If you've ever had a deep fried turkey, raise your hand. Yes, you've tasted the goodness of the Lord. So we deep fry and it's like 30 minutes. You could cook a 12-pound turkey, you know, and just put it in the pot, fry it, ready to go. It's delicious. And so Thanksgiving is just that type of holiday. And it's just, man, it's just fun. And I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving in a great way. And I hope you are, too. I hope you're looking forward to being with family, sharing a meal together, watching some football. Right. You guys will be watching football, the Eagles, right? Who are they playing again? Oh, yeah, the Cowboys. And so we'll be watching some football. It was painful last night. And Tyler's wearing his FSU shirt. That's just not even cool. But we share that in common. We share that in common. We're looking forward to this Thanksgiving. And it's just so good to share that in common. But I'll tell you what, yeah, Thanksgiving, we're going to share the meal and share, you know, heavy stomachs. Some of you will be sharing in some naps together, right? If you're a nap taker during Thanksgiving, you know what I'm talking about. After that Thanksgiving meal, how many of you just park on the couch? All right. Yes. Just park on the couch and you go into a food coma until it's time to get up and have some leftovers, you know? And so, man, we you know what I'm talking about. We share that in common, but we share something else in common. We share a story, the story of life, and it's more than just Thanksgiving. It's more than just Thanksgiving. It's a life really full of good and bad. And the truth is that we all want good things in life. We want things to be good. We want life to be good. We want our families to be good. We want our careers to be good. We want our marriages to be good. We want our children and our parenting to be good. We want church to be good. We just want life to be good. Like, I know you share that. I know we share that more in common than we do maybe even turkey, because we may have some fryers and some oven cookers in here. I don't know. There may be two parties of turkey cookers, and we may not share that in common, but I know for sure we share this in common, and that is that we all want good. We all want something good. We do. But what if? What if we don't get the good that we're looking for? Well, what if her health fails? What if I lose my job? What if I lose the house? What if she dies? What if he dies? What if? What if?
What if?
And that's a tough question, and we share that in common too, because I think we all ask ourselves the same question, what if, a lot of the times? What if? But I think this question right here is the one that gets us all, and I think we share this one in common as well. What if God fails me? What if God is not near when I need Him the most? What if God doesn't show up when I'm waiting for Him to show up? What if? What if? And some of you may be in that same boat this morning. If you're coming into this church, I know life isn't just all good for you right now. I know there are probably things that you're waiting on God, and that you've been praying to God, and you've been asking God, Lord, it's time. When? Lord, when? Because you've asked the what if. You've asked the what if. And that question leads you to ask, well, where is God's goodness here? Where's the good that God so richly promises? Where's the good that I've heard about since I was a little child? Where is the good? No, where are you, God? Where are you, God? Where's your goodness? The truth is, we see more of the bad in our lives than the good at times. And the truth is that we blame God for the bad most of the times, and often fail to see the good that He's done. I mean, if you're sitting there and you can relate to this, I mean, think back when something bad happened. What is the first thing that goes to your mind? Lord, why'd you let this happen? God, I can't believe you. Dot, dot, dot. So, I want to talk this morning real briefly, because I'm short on time. We started a little late, and so bear with us. But I want to talk real briefly this morning a little bit about David. David was a man. This is King David, one of Israel's greatest leaders and greatest kings. King David knew the good and the bad. He was in a real, breathing, moving relationship with God, and he understood the ins and outs of good and bad. And so he writes in 1 Chronicles, and you can turn there if you'd like, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. He writes something. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. This is what David writes. They've just defeated the Philistines. They've brought the ark back into the tent. And David is writing this psalm of praise. Excuse me, not this psalm. It becomes a psalm. But he writes these words in a praise to God, which really becomes, that one verse becomes the catalyst for many, many, many psalms that David wrote. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And so that takes us to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. If you can go there, please. Psalm 145, beginning in verse 1. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and loving toward all He has made. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him, and He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever. Wow. Amen. And David writes that. And David says, God, I know You, and I know we've been through the good and we've been through the bad, but I know one thing, and we share one thing, and that's that we know that God is good. No, He's not only good, He's great. And I can't do it like Tony the Tiger, but you know who I'm talking about, right? You can just hear Him in your mind. That's God. God is not just good, man, He is great. But the question is, do you truly believe that this morning? Can you say God is great? Because David said, yeah, for that we praise You, God. We adore You. We exalt You because You're good. You've been good through all generations. That's what David writes. And so David can say, thank You. It's all good. Thank You. If I were to summarize Psalm 145 in just a caption, that's what it would be. Thank You. It's all good. It's all good. But can you say that this morning? Can you say, Lord, thank You, no matter what's going on right now, this second, in your mind, whatever happened yesterday, whatever may happen tomorrow, can you say, thank You, God? It's all good. There's been times when I can't say it. Sometimes I can't understand why I can't say it. But I don't need to. All I need to understand is that He is good. Because the verse says it. We cannot even fathom the greatness of God. We cannot even understand how good God is, or even what the word good means, because what you think is good may not really be good. And I'll get to that a little bit later. Good and bad exist together. If you haven't figured that out yet, then I'm just letting you in on a little secret. Good and bad exist together. But God is good even in the bad. I don't know if you believe that. I don't know if you can accept that. I don't know if you can reconcile yourself to even saying that, but I'll say it. God is good even in the bad. See, that's the problem with most atheists today. Their biggest question is, well, how can such a good God allow such bad things to happen? Well, let me tell you how He can. What you think is good or bad is irrelevant to who God is. Irrelevant. And if you can't reconcile yourself and your life to the fact that God is good, period, then you'll never understand why good and bad exist. Bad things happen to good people. They happen to all people. Bad things just happen. They just pop in your life. You know, they just happen. Flat tires, illnesses. Bad things happen. But God is constant. God is always there. God will always be there. Yeah, bad things will happen to you and I, but God will be there. For that, we say thank you. It's all good. It's all good. Joseph, Elijah, Job, Esther, Paul, and the list goes on. All people that had to go through bad things. I mean, goodness, take Joseph, for example. Sold as a slave. I mean, before that, he was thrown into a well, into a hold, and then sold as a slave and in prison and in and out of prison and accused. And you know the story. That brother had bad things happening to him. But God was present and he had a purpose. And there was good that was coming, because I really do believe that bad things are the wind in the sails of a ship that is headed somewhere good. I'm going to say that again. Bad things that happen in your life and my life are wind in the sails of a ship heading somewhere good. And I hope you believe it. I hope you believe it right now, because some of you are going, man, I don't know if I can buy that, Carlos, because a lot of bad things have happened to my life and the ship hasn't set sail yet. Well, maybe God isn't on board. Can't see the good without the bad. Some of us can't see the good because we see so much bad. You say, well, my story, you don't know my story, Carlos. So my story is really bad. My story is full of bad. Look around you. Look around you. Like High School Musical says, we're all in this together, right? Good old Zac Efron. We're all in this together. We've all got bad things and we've got good things, but God is there. I want to say this to you. There's no theological or philosophical explanation, and I need to read this because I want to get it right, of why God allows bad things. There's no theological or philosophical explanation that I can give you to answer that question, unless what that says helps you live within the circumstances that don't change and cause pain. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's no theological answer that I can give you to give you an answer of why bad things happen if we serve such a good God, that can give you the rest and peace that you're looking for. There isn't. So the question is, how do I live with God when things don't get better? Have you ever asked that? Like, God, how are you in this? And how do I get through this? And how does it happen? I mean, how am I supposed to see the good in this, God? Hopefully you have been there. I've been there. And we're getting to where we want to get to here in just a second, and I think can help us all. That word is trust. That word is have faith. I mean, just trust God. I mean, just trust God that no matter what's going on, whether you label it good or label it bad, that He has got you covered. That He's going to take care of you. that no matter what happens, it's going to do one or the other. It's going to draw you closer to God, or it's going to push you away from God even more. And so the question is, which one are you going to do? You can sit and wallow in your own pity, and you can say, oh, woe is me, and how bad is my life, and I can't believe this is... And, or you can just go to God. And you can just say, thank you. It's all good. Let me ask you these two questions. Has He been good and compassionate with you? I mean, think about your life right now. Has God been good to you? Just take a little bit of time and think about that. Has He been compassionate with you? My next question. Will the next generation know that? Will the next generation know God's goodness in your life? Like, will your kids and your kids' kids and their kids know, hey, you know, grandmommy and granddaddy so-and-so, you know, God was good in their lives. Yeah, they saw bad times, but God was there. God was good to them. He's good to us now. I mean, will the next generation know that? I don't know if you caught that in the psalm. David says it right there at the beginning. Your good deeds will be proclaimed to all generations. All generations. Your mighty acts, your deeds, what you've done, God, needs to be known throughout all generations. Because you're a good God. There's a song that Casting Crowns. I don't know if you know the group Casting Crowns, but there was a song that was entitled, I Will Praise You in This Storm. How many of you have heard that song? Praise You in the Storm. Just listen, just a few of these words on this song. He says, I was sure by now that God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen. And it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear your whisper through the rain, saying, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You've never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind and you heard my cry and you raised me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? You ever been there before? Yes. But God's been there too. And He's been right there by your side. See, God is good. He's faithful. If you go back to the psalm and you read all these characteristics of God, it says, God, you're faithful. You uphold us. You lift us. You give to us. You satisfy us. You hear us. You save us. You watch us. This is the God that's being described in just one chapter of the Bible. And I'm going to wrap up. Give me just a few more minutes. But this psalm also says, God, not only are you saving and upholding and watching and hearing, but you are destroying. That sounds like bad to me. Destroying the wicked, the ungodly, that which is unrighteous. Evil. God is destroying. Yeah, this good God that we serve, He destroys too. But that's not what God desires for you. What He desires for you is good. If you go to that next quote there. Actually, you're a little bit behind, but that's okay. God desires good for you.
but it may not always look good or feel good to you. I mean, does that make sense? I mean, God wants good for us, but to us, it may not always feel good or even look good. Are we okay with that? I hope so. I hope so. So what does he say? We're going to wrap up. What does he say? He says, call on me. Call on me and I'll be good to you. I'm here. I want to be near you. Just call out to me. Glenn Pemberton, author of Hurting with God, said this. He says, when what we believe to be true about God clashes with the actualities of our lives so that nothing makes sense, our faith requires speech. When nothing makes sense to you with what actually is happening in your life and what you know about God, when that doesn't make sense, call on God. Call on Him. Call out to Him and He'll be near. Then He says, fear me. Fear. When was the last time you thought of God as a God who needed to be feared? Like, we all love the loving God, the warm and fuzzy God. And we say, well, that scary, be afraid of God thing was the Old Testament. Old Testament. No, God is a God of love in the New Testament. Yes, yes. But as far as I know, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Do you fear God? I'm not talking about being terrified. I'm talking about, do you revere God? Do you honor Him? I mean, do you fear what He can actually possibly do to your life that you may call bad, but He sees as good? Have you thought about that? That God can do that because He knows the good that you need, but that good that we think should be good may mean something else to God? That's who we serve. He says, fear him. Lastly, he says, love him. Even though you may want to blame him, even though you may want to accuse him and point fingers at him for the way life is for you right now, for why you haven't gotten the job, for why you got the divorce, for why your kids are the way they are, for why your health is the way it is, for why this country is the way it is, and so forth. Love him. Just love him. Just love him. And say thank you. It's all good. See, that is faith verbalized. When you can say thank you, it's all good, God. It's all good. Thank you. Maybe that's you this morning. You know, we're ramping up for Thanksgiving. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving here under 2 weeks. Maybe that's your cry this morning. You've lost a sense of the goodness of God. Because so much bad has come into your life. Would you call on Him? Would you begin fearing Him and loving Him? I don't know where you are today. God does. You're sitting in that chair right now. I can't see through you, but God can. And if you can't this morning, say thank you. It's all good, God. And I'm okay with whatever happens. And maybe we should spend some time in prayer. Maybe you need to spend some time with God. Just having some one-on-one time with God about your circumstances. God is good and He loves you. He does. Let's pray together. Father, we know You're good. We just have to look, open our eyes and open our hearts, Lord, and look at our lives and we'll see Your goodness, Lord, just spread out all over our lives. Father, even in the bad, You're good. Even when we think it's bad, it's not really bad, Lord. You're just trying to get us somewhere. And so, Lord, this morning, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. And I pray that we can take even those bad things, those things we call bad, and we can see your goodness through them. And we can make something positive out of them. Lord, there are a lot of people I know in this room that have pain over loved ones who have passed away, over things that have happened, over sickness that's going on. And Father, may we not blame you. Father, may we not blame you, but may we praise you and love you with everything we've got. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity for us to say thank you. It's all good. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you have any need this morning, you can come forward. We're going to stand and sing a song. So there'll be elders up here, ministers up here. We can pray with you. God bless. Salvation.